News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
FM Talk 106.5. Friday mornings, it's 7 minutes after 8 o'clock, and it's time for Football Fridays with Paul Feinbaum, brought to you by Bryant Bank. Good morning, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you?
I am doing quite well. Probably better than some people.
You always seem to be on the afternoon show, of course, 2 to 6 here on FM Talk 106.5, Monday through Fridays.
Yeah, and it's been a fantastic week, just like so many other weeks on the Feinbaum Show throughout football season. And let's start with last week, Paul, and talk about some of the big games from then. And what better place to start with than Knoxville, where Tennessee finally slayed some demons, although it got close there at the very end, and Tennessee beating Florida 38-33. Your initial thoughts on that and the Hooker Heisman campaign in full force. You had him on your show this week.
Yeah, I think it was a big win. I think in the end, at the end of the year, we'll look back and go, Florida was not really a very good team. But you still have to win those games. And I was really impressed talking to Hendon Hooker on Wednesday. You know that he's a really good player, but when you get a chance to listen to him, I mean, he's a little bit older. He's already working on his master's degree. And yeah, he just really got this calm, quiet confidence that I think is the reason why Tennessee is doing what it's doing. Now, Tennessee is off this week, LSU next week in Tiger Stadium, and then Alabama. So I don't know if they can survive the trip down south, but if they do and Alabama does, then we probably have the biggest Tennessee-Alabama game in 20-some-odd years.
I would agree with that, because
wow,
Tennessee looks that good, and Bama's always Bama. On the other side of the field, Paul, you may have noticed a young guy named Anthony Richardson, and here's what we're all trying to figure out. Is he a great quarterback or not? It almost goes from quarter to half, or I don't know. What's your assessment of Richardson? Obviously, he's very talented.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago, I was sitting there on Saturday morning talking to Tim Tebow, and I thought he was describing Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Aaron Rodgers wrapped into one, and maybe better than all three times 10. He doesn't have a great cast around him, which sometimes, you know, really good quarterbacks can overcome. There's no question that he has all the tangible tools that you need, but I've yet to see a lot of on the field decision making that is going to make him what we were told he would be. So I think it's a big mystery right now what's going to happen to him. And you know, Florida, you know, has played a couple of tough games, and they still have Georgia and so many other critical games, including LSU, that I think they're going to be a 4-5 loss team, and how he handles all that is open for debate.
Is it still too early to tell whether Billy Napier can be a good SEC coach, or do you think that they're in pretty good hands just a few games in?
I think they are. I really did like the way they hung in there. I mean, he made some just absolutely boneheaded decisions, like going for a 2-point conversion when he didn't need to. But I mean, I've been wrong on so many Florida coaches that I would not invest much money in his future, because I do think that is somewhat of the Bermuda Triangle of coaches right now, with having seen Muschamp, McElwain, and Mullen all fail, when all three were, you know, fairly good hires.
So I was running into a store on Saturday, listening on our station to the Auburn game, as Missouri was setting up for a chip shot field goal. I get back in my car, and the game's still going. I'm like, how did that happen? Missouri lost that game about four different ways, Paul. I mean, it's one thing to have a loss. It's another thing to lose it multiple ways, multiple times.
Yeah, I was watching that game flying back from Dallas Saturday afternoon. And finally, the attendant said, I'm sorry, sir, we can't bring you any more liquor. I think it's tougher watching it on a plane, because you have nowhere to go. I mean, at least if you're watching it at home, you can get up and and walk outside and get some fresh air. But I mean, I was sitting next to I was sitting across from Roman Harper, the Alabama former Alabama player I work with, and he looked at me and he was drinking, by the way, he just kept shaking his head. Just as he said, "These are the worst two teams I've ever seen in my life."
Yeah,
and they were. And what was even worse than the field goal was then the Missouri guy is going over the goal line with the winning score in overtime, and he changes his hands, and it gets knocked out of his hands, and they lose the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just at that point, it's 99.9% they're going to win as he's touching the 1 yard line.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was unreal. I'm almost surprised, Paul, that Brian Harsin wasn't watching overtime from a plane because it was that they didn't just send him off at halftime. This felt like a loss for both teams, even though Auburn, you look at their record and you say, hey, they're still right in the thick of things. Mm-hmm. That's not the case.
Yeah, they are mathematically possible. It's if they win out, if they win every game the rest of the season and then go to the playoffs, they could still win the national championship.
Well,
but the better chance is they won't win too many more games, yeah. And Brian Harsin will be fired. I know there's a lot of speculation about his future. I don't think any final decision has been made yet, but ultimately he will be fired. you can quote me on that.
So good news for Auburn. Their unprecedented home stand continues. Inexplicably, they've got another home game. It's against LSU.
Yeah, this one does feel like a loss. and by no means is LSU really a feared team, but they're. I think Auburn has been given a gift, and I don't think they're any more. I think the store's out of gift certificates, so they're not getting any more.
Let's talk about the other top 25 ranked game from last week and then kind of transition to this week. You had Texas A&M. Some say it was a gift that they ended up beating Arkansas 23-21. The big news after the game this week for A&M was their leading receiver, maybe their best player, Anaya Smith, out for the year. You talked this week on your show about how that lack of experience might affect A&M moving forward.
Yeah, that's a big blow. I mean, this wasn't really great offense anyway.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
this is the part of the season we pointed out for A&M. They've already lost one game. They bounced back against Miami, which now just seems like a hollow victory as well after losing to Middle Tennessee. And now they do get a gift because Arkansas should have blown them out in the first half. All the things that went wrong, the weird miss at the end. And I wonder about A&M going to Mississippi State because they lost to State last year at home, and then they came back and beat Alabama. I just can't see. I think they'll lose this week as well, and they will limp into Alabama for that ballyhooed game that we all thought would be the game of the century. Mm. And it's entirely possible A&M will come in there with two losses.
Yeah. Speaking of Alabama, is this Arkansas team, considering they probably should have won last week, so their record would be different than it is? Is this going to be Alabama's biggest challenge until Atlanta?
I don't think so. I think I may have thought that if Arkansas had won, but I think that there's a chance Arkansas is still trying to figure out what happened last week, which isn't a good way to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
There's mixed opinions on that, but Arkansas, to me, doesn't have enough offensive firepower to hang with Alabama. And I think Alabama gets by this game, and then it sets up the next 2 weeks. Next week is more about hype, and then the Tennessee game, is legit. But I'll save the hype for that. We don't need to waste 2 weeks talking about that game, considering Alabama has Arkansas and A&M that are two pretty frosty, pretty feisty opponents.
Yeah, we don't talk often about Alabama having a tough schedule, but these 3 weeks at Arkansas, home against A&M, and then at Tennessee, you usually don't have that sort of peril staring Alabama in the face. But I guess my big question for the Tide and everyone else's big question, does Bryce Young have enough weapons around him to be the same old Tide and be there standing at the end of the year?
And he hasn't so far. He's getting some back, according to those who know more than I do. But does that matter? I mean, this has been, the argument is what kind of season is Bryce Young having? I mean, he's still great. He just doesn't look quite as potent. But what he showed me at the end of the Texas game is really all I need to know. Can he play when it matters? And, it's possible they'll be in a tight spot here, but I'm still not totally sold on Arkansas being on the same level. So I think I'll leave the broadcasters to hype this game into something that I don't think it really is.
Mm. And meanwhile, I'm not much of a gambler, Dalton, right?
That's right.
I don't do that. But that, for a lot of people, that's why they watch college football. But I think I just about put the house on Georgia at Missouri. I think that Kirby's probably got their attention in Missouri after last week. They've just got to be in some sort of a dismal funk.
Yeah, of all the losses we've talked about, that was the worst. Because you've got a coach who is funny when he's 500 and winning. He's not funny at all when he loses. And you know, and he is really in dire straits. This is a game. Missouri fans, of, you know, will they really care? I doubt it. This is almost a lost season already. And Georgia now has something to play for. They played poorly last week in a 17-point win. And I think they'll come out and look very good. I agree with you. If you decide to bet, will you put $5 down for me? Because I don't
you got it. I'm going to do it through Dalton. So we're all Dalton.
Okay, yeah.
We're funneling the money through Dalton Orwig.
I can do that for you for sure. And I want to ask you about one last game, Paul, before we let you go. 7 Kentucky versus 14 Ole Miss. This game in Oxford this weekend. If you would tell me that the Wildcats were ranked number 7 and no one is talking about it, it's just so strange to, first off, see Kentucky with a ranking beside their name, but second, it seems like they're completely under-discussed.
I'm glad you reminded me of that game, because that's where I'm going, and I forgot. I've been watching this hurricane so much, I forgot that I've got to get to Oxford somehow. And you're right, this is the strangest. I mean, this is, remember the years ago, I'd say 20 years ago, nobody wanted to play in that 11 o'clock JP game on Saturday morning. This is like a JP game, except it's one of the biggest games in the country.
Yeah.
Ranking-wise, it's on ESPN. And, you know, I maybe when I get to the Grove this afternoon, I'll feel better about it. But right now, I just checked my schedule again. It does say that game is on my list, but I don't know what to say about it. Because, I mean, would you, if I called you and said, hey, I got tickets to the Kentucky Ole Miss game, you would say, well, why don't we just tailgate at the Grove?
Yeah, taking the Grove and maybe miss the game?
Yeah, there's no way you lose that way. why waste a good afternoon in Mississippi going to a football game?
That sounds great. Paul, thanks for your time today. Again, best of luck at the Grove this afternoon, and you know, safe travels for sure.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you next week.
All right. Paul Feinbaum, you can hear his show right here on FM Talk 106.5, 2 to 6 every single weekday. And, oh, boy, it's been there's been a lot of drama. It's a very, very, very fun show to listen to, especially during football season. And Football Friday is presented by Bryant Bank. Thanks again to Michael and Greg and the whole crew for putting this on. We have fun talking with Paul every week. More Mobile Mornings on the way. You're listening to FM Talk 106.5.
All right, Kane. 825. Dalton Orwig with his old school Opryland hat on this morning.
That's right.
Photo of that.
Opryland.
On a Facebook page.
Who all out there has been to Opryland? Would love, not Opry Mills, not the mall in Nashville, but the old theme park in
so
Nashville.
Opryland was a theme park.
That's
with
right.
Roller coasters and stuff like that.
The Hangman. I think that was their big time roller coaster.
So then it lost some luster and some steam.
Mm.
And it turned into, they shut it down and turned it into a mall?
A big guitar-shaped shopping mall. Mm. Because they can't build, I think it's in the Constitution, they can't build anything in Nashville unless it's shaped like either a guitar or a guitar pick.
Like when you're flying.
Or a musical note.
When you're flying over Nashville, and you're coming into Nashville, and you know how you can see, like you're flying into Mobile, you see all the pools in the back. Is every pool in the shape of a guitar?
Yeah, every single pool.
Probably gets your attention, huh?
Yeah, they love music up there, yeah. That's for sure. Yeah. Opryland. Yeah, my dad was a bellman at the Opryland Hotel for years. Years up there.
For years?
For years.
So
he has some good stories.
I guess he probably, yeah. I checked in at the Ramada Inn in Athens, Georgia. I checked in some people of note, including Jerry Lee Lewis.
Oh, Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah, yeah. And so, all right.
This family one, man there.
In the family. 1981, let's say. And I remember at that time, so that was 40 years ago?
Yeah, I guess.
I remember at that time, now I was a kid, you know, 20, 21, whatever, 22. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy looks old. That was 1981. Did he have a birthday?
He just had a birthday. Yeah, I think Jerry Lee Lewis just turned 97. Is that right? 97 sounds about right.
Nobody.
87.
Nobody, well, knock off 10 years. Even 87. I don't think anybody had money on Jerry Lee Lewis getting to 87 the way he lived his life.
Yeah, probably not.
He looked bad then. So anyway, happy birthday, Jerry Lee.
A trip down memory lane.
Yeah, there you
right
go.
There with Dan Brennan. Mm-hmm. So Vladimir Putin just held a press conference, and the reason behind the press conference was to officially announce that Russia is annexing those four regions of eastern and southern Ukraine. Remember that vote began last Friday, I think,
right,
and then went over the weekend. They had their official numbers, the Kremlin. They said they gained 87% of civilian support in Kherson, 93% in Zaporizhia, 98% in Luhansk, and 99% in Donetsk. Of course, those numbers have been, there's been a lot of pushback against those numbers, people saying that it was a sham referendum. But that wasn't the only thing that Putin spoke about this morning, and kind of gathered several different sources here, including one reporter who was there for the meeting, I guess, or maybe he was just watching via live stream. But Zero Hedge, first off, I'll start with this. They said that Putin says there are four new regions of Russia. Putin says we call on Kiev to immediately stop military actions and return to the negotiation table. We are ready for talks. He said Russia will not negotiate about these newly annexed territories, and they won't discuss the results of the referendums with Kiev. But a large portion of this press conference was Putin absolutely lashing out against the West, and at least according to one reporter who is stationed in Moscow, or at least was stationed in Moscow, he said this has been the most anti-West speech that Putin has given. He started by talking about the votes to join Russia in the Russian-controlled parts of Ukraine, saying the people have made their choice. This is the will of millions. He said he reiterated that he believes that southeastern Ukraine is actually part of Russia. And then they held a moment of silence for the separatist commanders and Russian soldiers who were killed fighting Ukraine. He went on a historical rant about the collapse of the USSR in 1991. He said that that was a catastrophe because the Soviet leaders, quote, destroyed our great country and just left the people to deal with it. And he began really, really going after the West. He said the West is looking for new ways to strike against our country, to weaken and destroy Russia. They just can't put up with there being such a big country with its territory, rich natural resources, and people who won't live by anyone else's rules. He said the West wants to make Russia a colony, rob it, and turn its people into a crowd of voiceless slaves. Quote, they don't need Russia, but we do. Russia will always be Russia. We will always defend ourselves and our motherland. And he said, like he has said before, that now that they've annexed these four parts of Ukraine, that any attack against those or in those territories would be considered an attack on Russia, and didn't hold back. He said that they would use any means necessary to strike back. And of course, with that, many people worried about maybe being on the brink of nuclear war. We have some audio from State Department spokesman Ned Price we'll get to later in the show.
Yeah, I wonder if anywhere. I'd like to see the text of everything he had to say if he brought up Sweden and Finland about to join NATO. Mm-hmm. Can't be happy about that.
No.
It's 8:30 with Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. How to help the people in Florida. Got that on the way.
8:35, FM Talk 106.5. Mobile mornings on a Friday. Right now, we talk with Louie Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. And the weather, we couldn't be setting up for a better weekend than we are now. What do you have going on at McConnell this weekend?
Oh, I know. I'm in the shop right now, if y'all can hear it. But we've got, I'm sitting there looking at all the doors open, and we got air conditioning in here. I mean, you know, it is great outside, and we're going to have a great weekend. We're going to have the Alabama games on TV. So y'all come on by tomorrow. Today's the last day of the month, and Tommy repriced a bunch of cars. So y'all check those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. And if you got any questions, give us a call, 251-476-4141. We'll answer anything and try to get you set up with your brand-new ride. Tommy bought a bunch this week, actually, in Texas. So we'll have those in. Got some work vans. three-quarter tons, a couple of AT4s, got an AT4 Yukon, got a Denali Yukon. That's a new body style. So y'all come check us out.
And, Louie, if someone wants to sell you their vehicle, you still accepting those?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Call Gene at 251-476-4141 and ask for Gene, and he'll give you a price on the right on the phone.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
It is 837 FM Talk 106.5. So we have a neighbor in need, the state of Florida, of course, after what happened with Ian yesterday and the day before, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, made landfall on Wednesday, right?
So we've got a gentleman who he specializes in this.
Yeah, Walt from Summerdale. You might have heard from Walt before after some other storms we've seen in the past, and a helping hand for sure. Walt, thanks for coming on with us this morning.
Well, good morning, everybody.
How long have you, when was the first storm that you started doing this, gathering supplies and taking them there? You remember?
It was before the tornadoes hit Tuscaloosa.
Okay.
That was one of the first big ones we did. Had a lot of help from John and everybody on the radio. They were able to help us get everything started and going from just putting it out. But we're getting ready to make a trip south to Florida. Had a lot of people calling me already, so we're going to just go ahead and get it done.
Yeah, and let's kind of lay out that plan. If folks that are listening right now want to help out, want to gather some stuff, first off, talk about what items generally they can bring, what items are in need there in Florida, and also kind of your timeline here and where people can meet up.
Well, the timeline, our timeline is we plan on making our first trip in 2 weeks.
Okay.
That gives them a little bit more time to get things straightened out, cleaned up, and have a better plan of what's going on. But normally what we take are things that is still fresh in everybody's mind around here, everything we needed 2 years ago when Sally hit us.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got, you know, everybody's going to need paper towels, personal hygiene stuff, garbage bags, gloves, bleach, cleaning, you know, non-perishable food, snacks. And unfortunately, this year, just due to the high cost of the fuel prices, we are asking for monetary donations mm-hmm. as far as gift cards so we can get fuel or things such as that, because we have to take it with us. We'll have to load up here and take all the fuel with us because we don't know where we'll be able to get fuel at there.
That makes perfect sense, Walt. And once people start gathering this stuff, where do you want them to bring it?
They can start by bringing it to the Summerdale Town Hall in Summerdale. Now, I know a lot of people live in Mobile and want to donate. That will not be a problem because hopefully by Monday I will have a spot in Mobile where everybody can designate. We're actually working on that behind the scenes right now, trying to get that figured out.
Where'd you say in Summerdale again? Let me write that down.
Summerdale Town Hall.
Summerdale Town Hall. All right. And you said you're going to try
on Highway 59.
Try to make that trip here in a couple weeks, give people some time to gather that stuff. And you mentioned, you know, cleanup items. That's something I don't immediately think of. You know, you're thinking of water and the basic necessities to stay alive, but this is going to be such a massive cleanup effort that garbage bags, gloves, all of that makes perfect sense. It's just something I didn't think of first off. But Walt, man, you do this every time there's a major storm like this. My hat's off to you. Anything we can do here to help, we'll for sure do, including but not limited to letting everybody know exactly what they should bring and where to bring it to and by when. So we really appreciate you coming on with us this morning.
Hey, not a problem. One last thing, something people don't think about, dog food, pet food. You know, they're struggling also. People are trying to help, you know, feed their animals.
Yep, good point. Man's best friend right there. Got to make sure he's doing well, too, or she. And anything else comes to mind, Walt, just let us know. Our line is just wide open to you. Our airwaves are wide open to you and anybody else that wants to do the right thing and help our friends and neighbors in Florida.
All right, thanks, guys. Y'all have a great day.
Yes, thank you. That's Walton Summerdale, again, gathering supplies. You could take those out to the Summerdale City Hall right there on Highway 59. He said he's going to work on getting another mobile location a little closer for a lot of us to get those supplies, and he said they'll leave in about 2 weeks. So we'll keep you updated over these next couple of weeks. How that's going, we'll get Walt back on the phone on this show, maybe on Midday Mobile, and give you an update there. But, man, the destruction.
I think we haven't really seen, you know, a lot of what I think we're going to see more images and more things that are going to really shake you down a little bit. And again, what condition are the people in? Is everybody okay? Have people been rescued that needed to be rescued, or are there many of them still out there? You know, you got those islands off the coast that seem to be. I know one of them now. You got the Sanibel Causeway is part of it is sitting in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, it'd be like bridge to Dolphin
right.
Island.
Just, exactly.
You know, falling.
Yeah,
that's what they're dealing with there. They said 6,800 people that live there on that island.
On the island, yeah.
And it's so, you know, when there are atrocities or, you know, mass casualties and there's another person or thing at fault. That's one thing, right? You mm-hmm. get angry. You want to strike back or at least have some form of justice. But I just watching some of the video that was coming out from Florida yesterday where you're and we've seen it around here. We've seen it in Mississippi. We've seen it in Louisiana. We've seen it in Florida and Texas. But each time to see these people who've just in many ways lost everything. Yeah. Like I don't, one thing yesterday that just really caught me was on Fox News Weather, the Fox Weather Channel. I forget which of the barrier islands they were on, but they were talking to a woman who had just lost her husband two months ago and had one of those trash cans, just like you take to the side of the road come trash day every week. And she was gathering parts of her, you know, life, her memories that had just, along with her home, been demolished and thrown everywhere. She was gathering a lot of her late husband's, you know, belongings and putting them in a trash can. And she was talking with this Fox, you know, the man on the scene there that's with Fox Weather. And she wasn't crying. She was upset. But she had lost everything. And she was just putting it all back together, just like so many other people in Florida.
She's probably in shock a little bit. You know, something that happens like this, and she lost her husband just a couple of months ago.
Right.
And then you have this happen. I mean, if you are a candidate for being in shock, she was. And then you just autopilot. Then you're just moving around. I saw a friend of mine after Katrina, and that's the state he was in. I went over to visit him in Mississippi, and he was just his home was gone pretty much, and he was just kind of going through things, no real, and he was lining things up like I found this, and this, and I found this 3 blocks over there. It kind of what he was doing almost didn't make any sense, but he was processing everything. He was trying to figure out what's next, and so I just helped him do what he was doing, and so that's a lot of these people right now. Think of that, Dalton. Not just that the destruction. And that woman's, and there's probably going to be some more loss of life. I think we're at 19. And then you have your, almost like your dignity is taken away too. The things that you had pride in for decades, right? In and around your home, the things that gave you comfort, a lot of those, or all of those are gone.
Yeah.
So these people are going to be dealing with a whole lot.
Yeah, for sure. And some of the rescue operations have just been, heroic, sure.
So if I go online, I'll be able to find some of these. If it's a news crew, obviously they're available online, right?
I referenced that earlier, and I need to find who that was. I know it was on Wednesday, but they throw these reporters out there. We've seen it time and time again, where they want to see them fight against the wind and talk at the same time.
Yeah, right.
They just want them on the scene, right? And I know on Wednesday that happened where you had a reporter on the scene who saw a car being swept away and someone was in that car and they pulled them out. Same thing happened just a few weeks ago. I think it was in Kentucky during the flooding up there. It was somewhere around those mountains up there. It was either in Kentucky or Tennessee, but weather reporter walked over in the waders over to the car that was already up to the handles in water and grabbed the woman who was in there, took her out of the car, and walked her over to a safer spot.
Wow.
It's happened twice in a row now. You had audio earlier from a sheriff in the northeastern portion of Florida, right? So
yeah.
This was after the storm had worked its way across.
Exactly.
And was still a monster.
Yes.
And a 97-year-old woman had fallen out of the bed, broken her hip.
Right.
Water everywhere. They got her out, got her in a SWAT vehicle, he said.
No anesthesia, nothing they could do for her pain, which was 97, too. That's nice. A survivor right there.
Yeah, Cajun Navy's been down there. I've seen the reports around here. Coast Guard from our area headed to Florida. My wife was telling me as she was driving back from Biloxi early this week, already the power line crews were stacked up on 10 traveling eastbound.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears at this point that DeSantis kind of staged everything about as well as you could going into a storm like this. I know, kind of like we used OWA, or the power crews used OWA when we had a storm coming this way to
right.
stage. They did that at Daytona International Speedway,
okay.
and I'm sure other parts of Florida they used for that, and had, you know, pallets of stuff ready to give out, whether it's water or other goods.
I think, remember the Hank Aaron Stadium parking lot used to be one of our staging areas for all those trucks that came in from out of town. Pretty convenient, you know, I-10 and I-65 right there, so they could easily get to it, and that's where they would kind of set up shop to get ready to do whatever they were going to do. And of course, then it's up to you and your neighbors to bribe these people from Kentucky or where they're from and say, can you help us out a little bit?
Yeah.
You know, you try to make sure that they get to your power as quickly as possible.
And, you know, all of this and Ian isn't done, as it's going to make another landfall here is a much less strong storm. But still, we've seen Cat 1s, we've seen tropical storms cause quite a bit of damage. And in those areas, the Carolinas, you go a little further westward into Kentucky, those are the places that have been dealing with the flooding
yeah.
all year, and they're about to get a whole lot more rain. So basically Florida all the way up, maybe has it completely escaped Georgia? I'm not sure what they're going to end up dealing with in Savannah.
They've still got some warnings, I believe, in Savannah. Savannah's like, Georgia probably's got, I would guess, about 100 miles of Atlantic coastline mm-hmm. there in the state, judging from the bottom of, from Brunswick and St. Simon's Island up to Savannah. So, not a whole lot of coastline there, but a lot more North Carolina, South Carolina, and North Carolina. They're preparing.
Well, I'll tell you what, watching the satellite formation of that storm of Ian before it made its way through Cuba and into Florida, by the time it got to the Florida coast, that thing was spinning like a top
yep.
in the satellite video.
So Sally wasn't that big, but that's what Sally was doing. And so that's why we got wore out with Sally over Baldwin County. So, you saw that thing coming. It was like, okay, we thought it was going to maybe increase in strength a little bit before it hit shore, and it slowed down. We thought it was going to slow down, and in fact, it did increase. Hey, we've got these tickets. Might as well give them away now, don't you?
You want to give away our final pair of tickets to see ZZ Top and Jeff Beck at the Wharf tonight. It's a 7:30 show. Before you call, make sure you can go tonight. We have digital tickets, so I can send them right to you.
That's it.
Final pair of tickets, ZZ Top and Jeff Beck at the Wharf tonight. I imagine you can still get tickets at Ticketmaster.com or the Wharf box office if they're still available. We'll take caller number 4 here at 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. Caller number 4, the final pair of tickets to see ZZ Top and Jeff Beck tonight at the Wharf.
850 FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Norwood, and Mobile Mornings with the Jeff Poor Show on the way. We'll give you his lineup of guests coming up here real soon. Tonight, ZZ Top, Jeff Beck at the Wharf. There you go.
Congrats, Terry. Big winner this morning, picking up a pair of tickets to see the show tonight. Tickets are already on the way. And, we've been talking about it a while. It's finally here. ZZ Top and Jeff Beck tonight. Should be a good show, if for no other reason than the weather.
Yeah, it's going to be great. You were like saying that Jeff Beck's probably like, get on with it now. We've been talking about this show for about 7 weeks. Real quick on this, CEO of a place called Postcard Media
oh, yeah.
in
Clearwater. She had everybody come to work on Monday. She was at a remote location, and she laid it down. She said, look, this thing's going to be a nothing burger, is what she called the storm. And it's not going to be that bad. She said the media is drumming it all up. She said if we look back on this thing and nothing happens, and then we miss out on all our sales here at the very end of the month, we're going to be like, man, we fell for it. So I want you guys to keep on working right through the storm. It's not going to be that bad. Mm. Her name is Gandusa, Gandusa, and she has not replied to any responses by any media that are saying, you know, a lot of people are talking about that presentation you had on Monday, and they weren't happy about it on Monday, let alone what's happened since.
So I guess this was a remote working thing. So
they were all in work. They were in a conference room. She was remote. She was somewhere like in a car and just said, hey, I just want to call to order here. I want everybody to be clear on this. This is not going to be a big deal. Look at the way the media is making it out to be big. It's going to be fine. This is how they sell ads. We are in media. We get it. We need to work through this and get our goals here for the end of the month.
Well, you know, postcards, that game never sleeps. People always need postcards. So.
Well, it's just called Postcard Media. I don't think they sell postcards like of the town square.
Important stuff there. Hey, have they captured the pig? Anyone know as of this morning?
That I don't know.
Has the pig been captured? I know you asked if it's been seen.
He's been seen, yes.
The black pot-belly pig. It's been seen around Mobile, but they can't catch this thing. Well, and I don't know how hard they're trying.
I don't know how hard they're trying. That's exactly right. How hard are they trying? I heard that it was on the grounds of Corpus Christi Catholic Elementary School.
Yeah, NBC 15.
That could be their new mascot.
It could be. It could be the Corpus Christi Porkers.
Bring the pig down to the CYO field on Saturday morning. Now you have a new mascot.
Yeah, those kids are having a good time with it because NBC 15 embedded a reporter there at Corpus Christi. Lisa LeBrenijack went down.
Did she really?
They had a sign that said $1,000 reward, a wanted sign. And they even had a naming competition, I guess. They came up with Oink Oink and Wilbert.
I didn't know about all that.
Two of those names. The pig on the run already has a Twitter account.
Wow.
Yeah, you can find it at Swine SAS. Retweets are not endorsements, by the way, from the pig account there. And I guess they said they saw it on Shenandoah Road. This thing has been all over the city in this last week. I am a little worried. They say animal control.
Yeah. I'm
trying to track it down.
Okay.
Be easy on the pig, animal control. We don't need, you know, we don't need any national headlines from this.
Don't need to be all ornery and all everything. Stan McDonald, April Marie Fogle, among Jeff Ford's guests, Chris Elliott at the final hour, the state senator. It's 8:59 FM Talk 106.5, and Jeff Ford's next.
Does a new building with a wind rating of 175 miles per hour appeal to you?